everybody. If you want to find your way back to your seats, we are getting ready to start. It's okay to be not okay. Amen?
Amen.
All right, good, good. So the third most common mental health, mental illness issue in America today is bipolar disorder. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So what is bipolar disorder? Well, the American Psychiatric Association says bipolar disorders, and by the way, so there's not just a bipolar disorder. There's kind of a spectrum of different things that are categorized under bipolar disorder. But bipolar disorders are brain disorders that cause changes in a person's mood, energy, and ability to function. Now, let's just stop right there for just a moment. If we go with that basic definition, changes in mood, energy, and ability to function, we're all bipolar, right? I mean, like we all have times at which we go through different moods. We go through times where we, you know, wake up and have different energy levels, different activities, kind of things in our life. We all go through changes in emotions, changes in the way we feel that may impact our energy and our ability to function at times. All of us go through times of being in a good mood, feeling positive and energetic and excited. We all go through times of being in a bad mood where we feel irritable and agitated and stressed and easily angered or offended or jealous or depressed. We all experience the fluctuating tides of emotions in our world. I mean, the word emotion, the majority of the word is the word motion. So our experience of emotion is a come and go, a increases in certain emotions and decreases in other areas of emotion in our life. Our emotions move, they change, and there are all kinds of things that can affect that. How much sleep you had, the way you related to your boss the day before, the kind of food that you're eating. There are all kinds of things that can impact our moods. And that just illustrates one of the things that I said the very first week of this series. We all have mental health issues. Now, you should agree with that, right? We do. We all have mental health issues. So what differentiates the normal changes in mood and energy and function that we all experience from what we say is bipolar disorder? Well, here's what the American Psychiatric Association goes on to say. People with bipolar disorders have extreme and intense emotional states that occur at distinct times called mood episodes, categorized as manic, hypomanic, or depressive, as well as periods of normal mood. A manic episode is a period of at least 1 week when a person is very high-spirited or irritable in an extreme way most of the day for most days, has more energy than usual, and may experience exaggerated self-esteem or grandiosity, less need for sleep, talking more than usual, talking loudly and quickly, easily distracted, doing many activities at once, or scheduling more events in a day than can be accomplished. Increased risky behavior, for example, reckless driving, spending sprees, excuse me, and uncontrollable racing thoughts or quickly changing ideas or topics. So that's a manic episode. A hypomanic episode is basically a manic episode but less intense. And a depressive episode is like the depression that we talked about last week. So today, as we talk about bipolar, just you can kind of apply a lot of the stuff we talked about last week when we talked about depression. That applies to the depressive aspects or the depressive modes when it comes to bipolar disorder. So that's the clinical medical definition of what bipolar disorder is. But I think it even makes more sense if you hear a description from someone who suffers from bipolar disorder. So listen to this. Being bipolar is like riding a roller coaster blindfolded. It's feeling a half step out of sync with the rest of the world. It's never feeling secure in making plans or promises because you have no idea what your mood will be. And know that more than half of the time, your mood will make you bad, hostile, or even dangerous company. Manic is madly egotistical, easily aggravated, prone to saying things that you regret, and sometimes a danger to anyone around you. It is feeling better than you can put in words, and definitely way better than any drug high. It's creativity with no limits and can run for days with no break until you finish or become dysphoric or depressed. Depression is a weight that you carry, can never put down, and it grows larger every day. It is trying to convince yourself to keep living another day, hour, minute, second, instant. It is pain that is exhausting and lasts forever. So that's bipolar disorder. Now, what does the Bible have to say to help you if you suffer from bipolar disorder, or if you have a friend or a family member who does? Well, two things to begin with, two reminders from the first message of this series. Number one, pursue medical help. One of the things we said in the first message in this series is that often mental health, mental illness issues are physical issues. There are physical factors at play. There can be chemical imbalances. There can be some needs in nutrition, some needs in your diet. There can be lack of sleep. There can be experiences that happen to you in your life. There can be all kinds of external physical factors or internal physical factors that can impact your mental health, your mental illness. This is particularly true when it comes to bipolar disorder. Bipolar disorder is one that there is significant help that comes from medication, and there is significant danger from coming off of that medication. So that's kind of the first kind of general principle as we talk about bipolar disorder is make sure you talk to a medical professional. Make sure you go to a doctor. Make sure you get some help in terms of the chemical changes in your life, in terms of things that are going on inside your body. Thank you. So make sure you pursue that medical help when it comes to bipolar disorder. Second kind of general thing I want to say is the Bible does not specifically address bipolar disorder. Okay, you're not going to be able to flip over to the back of your Bible and go, okay, where are all the verses that say bipolar disorder? It's not in there. Okay, you're not going to find in your concordance anywhere, oh, this is where it talks about bipolar disorder. Now, a couple of reasons for that. Number one, the Bible is at its youngest, 2,000-year-old book. The Bible came from a different culture, a different worldview, a different understanding of the world. The Bible came from kind of a pre-psychiatric medicine worldview or understanding of the world. In fact, bipolar disorder was not actually even in our world defined as a medical disorder until at the earliest, the late 1800s, and it really wasn't until the mid-1900s that we really began to have some understanding of what bipolar disorder is. So when we look at the Bible, we're not going to look at places where we go, aha, that's bipolar disorder and that's what the Bible's talking about. What we are going to see are some general principles that the Bible gives that relates to bipolar disorder across the board. Now, one of the things I told you at the beginning of this series is each week I was going to try to point you to someone that I felt like, hey, there's someone in the Bible who maybe wrestled with this kind of issue, someone who had this kind of issue in their life. When it comes to bipolar disorder, it's difficult, again, because we've only recently kind of defined what this disorder is and looking back at the Bible, so it's difficult to track, hey, who's somebody in the Bible who maybe this was something they dealt with. I think there's pretty good evidence that King Saul dealt with bipolar disorder. Okay, King Saul, at one moment, David's his son. He loves David. He's equipping David for battle. Another moment, he's throwing his spear and trying to pin David against a wall. He has migraines or some sort of intense pain in his life that David has to come and play his harp to soothe the pain that Saul is experiencing. The Bible says that Saul was afflicted with an evil spirit sent from the Lord to torment him. So there's just this kind of, in Saul's life, this all these wild swings going on. So maybe Saul is somebody that we can identify in the Bible that may have suffered from bipolar disorder. So let's talk about help for facing bipolar disorder. The first thing is this: rest in the character of God. Rest in the character of God. For someone with bipolar disorder, life can seem like it is in a constant state of uncertainty and change and intense shifts and shifts in mood and circumstances and their experiences of the world. Your own personal emotions seem uncontrollable and unpredictable. Life is like that guy said, the blindfolded roller coaster ride. So if that is you, or someone you know, how do you find peace and where do you find peace? Where do you find consistency? Where do you find security? Where do you find certainty? You find it in who God is. Listen, if you have bipolar disorder, I think there are a lot of different attributes of God that you could meditate on and trust in that could help you. The sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God means God's in control. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the situation, whatever it feels like, however life seems to be moving and rolling and changing all around you, the sovereignty of God says God is in control. The omnipotence of God, which is closely associated with the sovereignty of God. The omnipotence of God means God is all powerful. That there is nothing that is beyond His control. There is nothing that is outside of His grips. There is nothing that He can't handle. There is nothing that He can't deal with. So that the power, the omnipotence of God, the goodness of God, that God is a loving God, that God is a good God, that God wants what is best for us as His children, the compassion of God, that God cares about you. And God cares about what you go through. And God cares about what you are experiencing. All of those are character attributes of God that I think you could meditate on and trust in as you wrestle with bipolar disorder that maybe can help you in some of those times. But in particular, I think you need to rest in the unchanging character of God. When life changes, God doesn't. When you are changing, God isn't. When life is like a blindfolded roller coaster, God remains the same. When you are on the highest high or when you are in the deepest lows, God is still the same. When you are riding the blindfolded roller coaster and it seems like life is constantly changing, when you are going a million miles an hour or when you just want to retreat and have everybody else disappear, God never changes. Well, let me show you some, different aspects of the unchanging character of God. Psalm 117, 1 and 2 says, "Praise the Lord, all nations, extol Him, all peoples, for great is His steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." God's faithfulness. God will never let you down. God will never change the way He relates to you. God will never fail to provide for your needs. God will never break a promise to you. God will never walk out on you. Listen, if you have bipolar disorder and if you've had it for very long, chances are you've probably had people give up on you and walk out on you. You've probably had people say, "I can't deal with this anymore. I can't handle this anymore. I am done with you." But the good news is God is faithful and He won't ever do that. No matter how difficult you may be, no matter what kind of mood you are in, no matter what you are doing, God will not give up on you because He is faithful. He will always stand beside you. He is faithful. There's a song, an old hymn that we used to sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." It says, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Abby, go ahead and pull that slide up, that next one up. Yes, no, maybe.
Maybe.
No?
No.
What's going on?
There is no slide with a hymn on it.
Really? Yes. No, it's in the sermon.
I know.
Okay. So we'll just have to do this from memory, okay? We'll see if you remember this one or not. I want you to sing it together with me. "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord unto." I just love that first verse where it says, there is no shadow of turning with thee. There's not even the least inkling in the faithfulness of God of Him ever changing the way He relates to you. Of Him ever changing His relationship with you. And so in the times of life where it seems like my life is absolutely out of control and I don't know what's coming next and I don't know what the next day holds, or whether you're on the highest high or you're in the lowest low, to just rest in and sink your heart into the fact that God is faithful and He will never change. Take a look at the next one, 2 Thessalonians 3:5. It says, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the what? Steadfastness of Christ. The steadfastness of Christ. The second aspect of the unchanging character of God is the steadfastness of Christ. What does that mean? It means that if you have trusted in Christ, if you belong to Him, there is nothing in your life that could ever take away from the power of the cross of Jesus Christ to save your soul. Nothing can ever change that. It means that nothing could ever change Jesus' commitment to you or His relationship with you. It means that Jesus is unshakable. Jesus is steadfast. The author of Hebrews puts it this way. He says that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, strong and secure. We have an anchor in Jesus that when storms blow in life and when life seems out of control, we are secure in Jesus Christ. I mean, the steadfastness of Jesus, just think about the moment when Jesus is in the boat with the disciples and the storm is raging all around them, and Jesus stands up in the middle of the storm and rebukes the storm and says, peace, be still. And it's, oh, there it is. Good to know. All right. So there is a steadfastness in Jesus Christ. And then look with me at Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ is what? The same. Yeah. Amen. He's the same. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same tomorrow. He's the same for all eternity. Jesus is the same. Your life is not the same. But Jesus is. Now here's what that means for you. The same Jesus who spoke to a storm and told it to be still is the same Jesus who is in your life today. The same Jesus who went to the cross, died in your place, died for your sins, was buried, but on the third day rose from the grave to give you eternal life and the hope of resurrection and being justified and forgiven before God and adopted into God's family is the same Jesus who is for you today. He is the same Jesus who even today is seated at the right hand of the Father and forever lives to make intercession for you before God. And He is the same Jesus who is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is going to receive you to be with Him forever and ever. He is the same. So no matter what's going on in your life, Jesus is the same. So if you struggle with bipolar, rest in the character of God. Second, grow in Spirit-given self-control. Grow in Spirit-given self-control. The manic phase of bipolar often involves impulsiveness, a lack of restraint, recklessness, risk-taking behaviors, a lack of self-control. Well, one of the chief features of a life filled with the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, of God living inside of you, is self-control. So what does that mean if you have bipolar disorder and you're in the midst of a manic, and one of the kind of natures of the manic is to be out of control? Well, you've got to continue to grow in Spirit-given self-control. Look at Titus 2, 11 and 12. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. So Paul says to Titus, one of the things that salvation by grace does in our lives is that it teaches us to stop acting on the basis of our own desires, teaches us to stop doing things simply because that's what I want to do, stop acting on impulse, stop doing things based simply on what I think is right or I desire for my life. And instead, God's work of grace in our lives teaches us to live self-controlled lives. But here's the thing. when the Bible says self-controlled, it does not mean the same thing that the world means by self-control. Because the world's definition of self-control is heavy on self. I have to exercise self-control. I have to generate self-control. I have to develop self-control. But in the Bible, self-control does not come from self. It comes from the Spirit working in your heart and in your life. So it's not through me like muscling it up and being, okay, I'm going to be in control of my decisions. I'm going to be in control of what I do. I'm going to be in control of my action. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Self-control, Galatians chapter 5, is a fruit of the Spirit of God working in my life and through my life and out of my life. And so the way I live my life in self-control is not by depending on myself, but by depending on the Holy Spirit. By asking the Spirit to fill me. By allowing the Spirit to work in my life. By following the leadership of the Spirit in my life. Now listen, this is not unique to someone who wrestles with bipolar disorder. This is a growth process for every believer. Because our nature is to do what my flesh desires. My nature in situations is to react. My nature in situations is to follow my wisdom. And the life of growth as a believer is more and more saying, Spirit, you lead me. Help me to know what I'm supposed to say in this situation. Help me to know how I'm supposed to act. Help me to know the decisions that I'm supposed to make. And don't let me make a decision. Don't let me do something until I have sought you and I have sought your direction and your leadership in my life. We all have to do that as believers. If you have bipolar disorder, that simply means that that's one of the areas of spiritual growth that you concentrate on. You say, God, okay, I need you to guide me. I don't need to do things on impulse. I need to do things under your direction in my life. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 14 says, So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the Spirit, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, then you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now listen. This does not mean, to reemphasize something we talked about the first week of this series, that you are a bad Christian if you suffer from bipolar. Okay, we said the first week, you're not a bad Christian if you have a mental health, mental illness issue. Okay, that is not an indication that you don't love God. It's not an indication that God's Spirit doesn't dwell inside of you. So it doesn't mean that you're a bad Christian. It just means that this is an area for you that you will have to focus on in terms of your spiritual life and that you will need greater dependence on the Spirit of God to lead you. And by the way, that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to acknowledge I have to rely more on the Spirit of God. I have to trust more. I have to seek God more because my nature at times is to do things just on impulse. And so it's just causing you to lean more and more on the Spirit. None of us as Christians are supposed to be led by our impulses. We are all supposed to be led by the direction of the Holy Spirit. Number three, find your identity in Christ. Find your identity in Christ. For so many people with bipolar disorder, their identity, who they are, has become connected to their experience of bipolar. For some people, they identify themselves with the experience of the roller coaster of emotions that they go through. Some people love the feeling that they have when they are going through a manic phase. They love the energy. They love the creativity. They love being the life of the party. And so for some people, the experience of the different emotions is that's who I am. Like, that's my personality. That's who I have identified myself with. And so that's why it's difficult for some people with bipolar to stay on medication. Because they say when they are on medication, I just don't feel like myself. Because they've gotten identified with this is the way I feel. This is who I am. This is what my personality is like. They have identified with the experience of bipolar and said that's who I am. Some people with bipolar disorder find their identity shaped by how other people respond to them. Okay, so sometimes people with bipolar disorder, it's like, well, man, everybody loves me when I'm on a manic. Everybody thinks I'm awesome. Or they feel like maybe I'm unreliable because I can't hold down a job. Because when I go through these different cycles and people just can't trust me, and so I'm an unreliable person. Maybe I'm incompetent. I just can't seem to do things right. I can't seem to figure things out. Maybe I'm unacceptable because I can't seem to hang on to friends, and I keep seeming to drive other people away. Or maybe they say I'm unlovable. And they have identified themselves with bipolar because of the way other people respond to them. For some people, their diagnosis has become their identity. And so you hear them say, I can't help it, I'm bipolar. Or simply they will say, I'm bipolar. Listen to me, your illness is not your identity. And this is true for all mental illness. Your illness is not your identity. People with cancer don't say, I'm cancer. People with eczema don't say, I'm eczema. People with sleep apnea don't say, I'm sleep apnea. Why? Because your illness is not your identity. People with ulcers don't say, I'm ulcers. And yet you'll notice often people with bipolar say, I'm bipolar. You'll notice the title of this message is, I have bipolar. Listen, if you have bipolar disorder, don't ever say, I'm bipolar. You're not bipolar. That's not who you are. That's not your identity. Maybe you have bipolar just like other people have some other form of illness, some other form of sickness in their lives, and that's okay. But don't define your life in terms of the mental illness that you struggle with. If you have entrusted your life to Jesus Christ, you have one identity that trumps all others in your life. You belong to Jesus Christ. You are a child of God, and Jesus is your life. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 4, Paul says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. You see that? Paul says, listen, if you belong to Jesus, your entire life has been hidden in God with Jesus. That's now who you are. You are a person who belongs to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is your life. That's who you are. That's how you live your life. That's how you identify yourself. That's how you understand yourself. And when Jesus comes back, He who is your life, then your real life will be manifest for all to see. Listen, if you have bipolar disorder, it's a temporary situation. But who you are in Jesus is eternal. So understand yourself in terms of who you are in Jesus Christ. Your primary identity is not your mental illness. It's not your current emotional state. It's not your success at work. It's not what other people think or say about you. And by the way, in addition to those things, for all of us, it's also not who your parents are. It's not what town you grew up in. It's not things that have happened to you. It's not how much money you make. It's not how you perceive yourself. It's not the job that you have. If you have given your life to Jesus, your primary identity is you have been hidden with Christ in God so that Christ is your life. Let that identity control every other area of your life. Find your identity in Christ. Finally, believe. Oh, and by the way, so there's a t-shirt. I saw it at Six Flags several years ago. And it says, always be who you are. Unless you can be Batman, then be Batman. Okay? I really like that, okay. But I think this verse in Colossians talks about that in terms of who we are in Jesus. Hey, don't focus on being yourself. Focus on being who you are in Jesus. Because that's who you really are. That's who your true identity is. Don't focus on being yourself. Focus on being who you are in Jesus Christ, and let that shape your life and let that shape your identity. All right, last one. Believe in God's love for you. Now, really, this is kind of cheating on my part because this is really just another aspect of God's character. But I think it's so important that it deserves its own point. If you are a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, God loves you, and there is nothing that could ever change that. Ever. If you are secure in Jesus Christ, and there's nothing that could ever change in your life that would make Him love you any more or any less than He already does. See, I want you to get that. That when you are in the pit of despair, God doesn't love you any less. When you just want to shut the doors and keep everybody else out, God does not love you any less. When you are the life of the party and you are super creative and getting lots of things done and having great ideas and starting a new Bible study or a new Bible reading plan, God doesn't love you any more on those days. It's not like He goes, oh, now I can love them because they've got their act back together. When you are agitated and irritated and easily angered and snapping at other people, God doesn't love you any less. And when you are normal and going about life like everybody else, God doesn't love you any more. You see, God's love for you is not about who you are or what you have done. God's love for you is about who He is and what He has done for you through Jesus Christ. It doesn't rest on us. Never has, never will. Look at Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So there's steadfastness and faithfulness again in that verse, but in particular, steadfast and faithfulness are tied to God's love. You see, the most beautiful aspect of God's faithfulness and the most beautiful aspect of Christ's steadfastness is His love. God loves you. And if you belong to Jesus, if you have trusted in Him, God loves you, and nothing can change that. Not a normal day, not a manic day, not a hypomanic day, not a depressed day, no highs, no lows, nothing can change the fact that God loves you. Take a look with me, last verse there, Romans 8, 38 and 39. It says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor," what? "Height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul says, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us from His love. He says, and it doesn't matter how high, what a high day you're on, like how great the day is and how incredible it is and how good you feel and how much energy you have and how much you're getting accomplished and the way you feel like a rock star in life, not height, not depth. When you're walking through a valley of despair and you feel like all hope is lost and you just want to give up and you just want to shut other people out, neither of those can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, so if you suffer from bipolar, listen, the most important thing you can do today, if you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, is do that. Like, that's the most important thing you could walk away from here today, is to trust in Him and to say, "Jesus, I want to know Your faithfulness. I want to know Your goodness. I want to know Your love. I want to give my life to You, and I want to trust in You." And so if you've not done that today, you can do that. You can just call out to God from your heart to God and say, "God, I want You to save me, and I want to give my life to Jesus, and I want to lay all that I am before You, the good, the bad, the highs, the lows, everything that I am, all my emotional roller coaster on the blindfolded roller coaster, I entrust that to You, and I want to follow You." Let's bow together. Father, thank You for today. God, thank You for, God, Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your compassion. God, thank You that You never change. God, in fact, the psalmist says that one day, You will like take off the universe as a garment and it will all change, but You will remain the same. So God, I just pray today for people maybe who wrestle with bipolar disorder and it's something that they suffer from and suffer through in life. God, I pray that they would find security and steadfastness in You. Pray they would find hope in You. pray that they would find encouragement in you. God, I pray that they would just once again hear today that it's okay to be not okay. It's okay, and that mental health, mental illness issues are just like any other illness that we may have in life. It's okay to be not okay. But God, thank you that in you there's strength for facing the things that you've called us to. There's peace. There's joy. There's support. God, in your church, in the body, there's people who can carry burdens for us and love us. So God, just help us to continue to be a church where it's okay to be not okay. Father, I pray that you would just use this time. God, I pray that you would just honor and glorify yourself and your Son, Jesus. And God, if there are people who this is an issue for them, I pray, God, that they would find hope in you today. And God, just help and support for the ups and the downs in their life. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.